Let's dip our toe into the world of technology in the meantime, shall we? Fevzi Turkalp, gadget detective, is back with us, which leads me to ask first and foremost, I need to do a bit of a cake check, Fevzi.
Carrots,
so what have we got on the go at the moment?
Well, it is actually carrot, but usually, you know, because I like my radio to be keen and hungry, I normally indulge in the cake afterwards.
Right.
Today that didn't go according to plan because today's cake I broke into last night.
You've gone early. Well, you've gone early with it.
Yeah, it was early. It was about 2 a.m.
Wow. And, every time we speak, I learn more and more about your questionable dietary habits. It's getting to the stage where
There's
I'm worried.
Questionable about them. They're terrible.
I am worried about scurvy and all sorts of other things kicking in, to be honest. 2 o'clock, carrot cake at 2 a.m.
Yes.
Why? What were you doing? What were you doing that made you think? I tell you what, I really fancy right now a massive slab of carrot cake.
You know why? Because I hadn't eaten dinner, and it
right.
got to 2 a.m.
Again,
there's no way I was going to start heating food up. And there was a cake.
See previous point. I mean, I feel like I need to just make you a batch of ready meals or something. I don't know. So I need to start mothering you in some way,
well,
just to make sure you're eating properly.
I look at it like this: a cake is actually a ready meal.
Well,
you know, it's just convention that people don't have them as meals.
I'm not sure.
You know, I mean, there's a history of it. Let them eat cake, right? I mean, you know,
yeah.
There's...
I think we're clutching at straws here, aren't we? I'm not sure that they contain all of the right food groups to classify as a
you
nutritious
probably,
meal.
You know, they say it's a banana, isn't it? If you could only eat a single food,
yeah.
The single food being the banana would keep you alive longest.
Right, I believe that. The key is it banana, not carrot cake.
Well, yeah, but you can have banana cake. You know, bananas are radioactive, right?
Let's not. There are so many different avenues we could go down here, and none of them are the ones that we intended to go down in the first place. Regular listeners will know that Fevzi likes to eat cake alongside doing this slot, hence the reason I did the cake check, and now we've gone down a path that I wish we'd never entered into. So let's talk about fax machines then, because are we potentially seeing the bell finally tolling for the humble fax machine after all these years?
Yeah, I think we are. And it's, you know, it's an interesting thing. So Ofcom is a regulator that regulates all things telephonic, and that includes fax machines. And they have something called the Universal Service Obligation, where they force BT and one other company called KCOM, which operates in Hull. Strangely, there's just BT and KCOM. It makes them provide certain services which they may choose not to on the grounds of it being not cost effective. And in 2003, fax machines were added to the list of services that people were entitled to expect. Now they're consulting on the fact that they're you know, they might want to take it off that list, which is another nail in the coffin. Having said that, faxes will disappear for the most part anyway, because in 2025, you may have heard that Openreach, which used to be part of BT, is taking all of our phone lines and making them digital.
Yeah.
So all what they call PSTN lines, conventional phone lines with conventional phones, will go. Everything will be IP-based. So in other words, everything will go over the internet, like little packets of data. So we already used to sort of IP-based telephony, things like Skype and Zoom and FaceTime. Those are all using little packets of information. But what it means is your standard phone won't work anymore, your fax machine won't work anymore, hence the need to take it off this list. But also a lot of other things won't work. I mean, okay, we could maybe do away with, you know, PSTN lines, but then think people like things like monitored alarm systems might stop working. Telecare, you know, people, vulnerable people who have emergency call buttons,
oh,
and they
yeah.
press the button,
yeah, yeah.
It dials, you know, you hear it dialing out. Those, if they don't replace, will cease working. So a lot of people will be vulnerable. Plus the fact that although, you know, IP-based internet telephony is all whiz-bang, the problem with it is it requires a power supply, as does your internet connection. But conventional phone lines, you may know, as the wire that comes in for a landline telephone not only carries the signal, it also carries a small voltage, which is enough. It won't run an answering machine or something like that, but it will keep the basic phone bit of it working. And where they've already started this migration to the internet-based telephone system, there's already been problems. People had power outages, and they not only lost their power, but they lost their telephones. And again, vulnerable people don't always have cell phones, and they're not always charged up in a power cut. So, and where, for example, now we're talking about possibly having power cuts this weekend, this winter. You know, we have to think about how to make the new system as robust, if not more robust, than the old one. And I don't think we're here yet. So I think there's going to be a bit of a struggle to hit it by 2025 in a way that actually works for everybody, not just those of us that have got sort of telephones coming out of our ears, if you'll pardon the pun. So fax machines on their way out. Many of us have fax machines and don't even realize it, because those of us that have these multifunction printers with scanner sections built into them, often they have fax capability that we may never have used. Fax machines are still used, you know. There's hundreds of them still in the NHS.
Yeah, but weren't they at one point talking about phasing them out?
There was a ban on buying new fax machines.
Yeah. Which I didn't even know you could do, to be honest. Yeah, the idea of buying a brand new fax machine is mind-blowing, isn't it?
As I say, they tend to be built into the multifunction devices. So I wonder how that goes, because if they were to buy a sort of a multifunction laser printer with a copier built into it, it would possibly have a fax in it as well. So, you know, so they're in certain areas of law. I mean, for a long time, emails were not considered to be
That's very
documents.
True. Yeah, like house sales, it had to be all faxed through, didn't it?
Still used in conveyancing. You're really? Quite right. It's used there. It's used in medical administration. There are still pockets of use. And also, if I was doing something that I didn't want to be tracked, particularly in retrospect,
obviously, but anyway, take your point.
No, but put it this way. We all communicate by email and other forms of electronic communication. But you're probably aware that most of that information is stored for a year or more. Mm. So if anyone were to come and investigate you after an event or the event, they could demand, you know, your not only your internet history, but all your messages. Faxes are different. Faxes are more akin to phone calls. You can record the fact that they happened. But unless you actually catch the fax flying through the ether and decode it as it goes, it's gone, you know, because it's point to point. Whereas an email, there are copies of that email also on all sorts of places, including your server, but also other places on the internet, because of the way it works. It's not secure. You should never put, you know, piece of advice, if you're ever going to play it in a bank robbery, don't be doing it by email.
I'm not sure many bank robberies are planned by email. I mean, I'm not involved in the criminal underworld, but that's just a feeling I've got. Fevzy's with us then. We are dipping our toe into the world of technology, and it's time to provide some maybe a bit of Christmas inspiration, Fevzy, with your gadget of the week. I think now we're starting to think about it. Well, you'd be very lucky to receive one of these, and if you can afford to buy this for somebody else, then you're probably doing quite well in the world. This is another smartphone, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not just another smartphone. It's arguably the best smartphone in existence today.
Really? Bold claim, Fevzy, bold.
Well, I did say arguably. It's from Google, who you'll know make the Android operating system, which they license to lots of other manufacturers, for example, you know, Sony or Samsung, for example. But they also make their own range of phones known as Pixel phones. And they are normally a way for Google to show what can be done with the technology, and they use innovative hardware and really good software as well. So this one is what's called a flagship phone. So every manufacturer has a flagship phone, which is their best phone, essentially. And flagship phones are never cheap. So this one's starts at about £850.
Wow, okay.
But having said that, you know, an Apple flagship phone can cost you twice that.
True.
So, you know, and this is quite interesting, because in general terms, I would say there are differences in the hardware between, you know, the flagship Apple and this. But they are, I would say, on a par. Some will prefer the camera on one, some will prefer the camera on another. But where the Google smartphone really pulls ahead is in its use of intelligent AI-based features, and I'll come to that. So it's not just about the hardware, it's what Google with all their sort of AI abilities have built into this phone. It's quite remarkable. So let's deal with the hardware first. So it's called the Google Pixel 7 Pro, not to be confused with the Google Pixel 7. The Pixel 7 is a list price of $599. This one starts at $849. So it's a bit of a jump, but for that, I'll explain what you get extra. On the back, you get an extra camera. So you get a 50 megapixel wide lens, you get a 12 megapixel ultra wide lens with autofocus, and a 5x telephoto zoom lens, which you don't get on the Pixel 7. So you get that. You get more memory inside it. And when I say memory, I mean the RAM. So this is the working. This is not how much of your stuff can you store in the phone. We'll come to that. But this is the working area for the phone, the scratch pad, the amount of space it has to run. So how many programs can it run at once? How many tabs can it have open in the browser? That's determined by this. And this Pro has a very healthy 12 gigabytes as compared to 8 gigabytes on the Pixel 7. And 8 gigabytes in Apple world is right at the top end anyway. So 12, you know, is even better. You get three memory configurations, 128, 256, and 512. But screen is gorgeous. The screen is bigger. The screen is 6.7 inches in diameter.
Okay.
From corner to corner. So to give you an idea of the size of this phone, 6.4 inches tall, 3 inches wide, and about 0.3 of an inch deep. So it's
pretty chunky, that, isn't it, for a phone?
It is, but you know, there are two benefits to that. One is 6.7 inch screen. I mean, at that point, they used to call them phablets, you know, half phone, half tablet. That phrase is kind of gone. But, when someone says to me, oh, it's a really big phone, no, it's a really small tablet with a SIM card in it. You know, it depends on, you know, because once you have one of these, you don't have to carry a small tablet. You might have an iPad mini or something. You really don't need that when you've got a big phone. It weighs just over 200 grams, 212 grams. So again, you know, it's not terrible and it's not the heaviest phone. But the other benefit is not just the screen, which, by the way, is sublime. It's not only big, but it's got a very fast refresh rate, so it's very fluid as it scrolls. Full 24-bit depth color, 16 million colors. It's beautiful screen, so I love it. And it's OLED technology, which means when you're watching film, video, the black is very black and the whites are very white, so you've got what they call a greater dynamic range.
Okay.
So if you're watching a scene, one of these escape movies where they're digging a tunnel and you can hear their voices, but on most TVs you can't see what the heck is going
on.
You can actually differentiate all those little differences in shades of black because it's of the OLED technology. The other benefit, other than the screen to having a big phone, is it comes with a big battery. Yeah, so this battery can easily do 24 hours at a push. With the extreme battery saver mode, you can do 3 days at a push.
Wow.
So that's, you know, and that comes with, because although the bigger screen uses more battery, the bigger battery more than compensates for that, so you then get longer life. So the cameras on the back are capable of doing 4K video, which is 4x the resolution of full HD. And the camera on the front, the one that you use, video calls and so forth, the one that you look at whilst you can still see your screen, that is also capable of 4K video, which is quite remarkable. Then we come to some of those AI features. It does macro focus. That's really good. It's got something called Magic Eraser. So if you take a photo and there's someone's photobombed you, or there's something unfortunate in the background, like a lamppost sticking out the back of your head or something like that, you can just make it disappear. And it works out what might have been behind it, you know, based on what else is around it. It makes an educated guess and it does it really well. So you can remove, you know, and when a relationship goes bad.
That's so true.
Magic. Well, you know, because you've got that really nice photo, and in the old days, people used to get scissors and cut them out.
Now we're talking.
And soon you'll just be able to paste the new boy in, you know. So,
the opportunities are rife.
It'll be completely seamless, right?
Yes, of course.
Also, photo unblur. Sometimes, you know, if particularly you get motion blur if you haven't held the camera still.
Yeah.
Or if the subject is moving. Sometimes that's it, and that's the best picture you can get. Again, it uses artificial intelligence to work out what the picture is a picture of, where the lines should be, and it can actually unblur the photograph. It can unblur faces. It can do panoramic shots. It's, you know, standard. The night photography on Pixel phones has always been good, and this is no exception to that. And it's also got real tone mode as well, so it's really good at doing different skin colors. Sometimes cameras seem to be, well, darker skin is more of a challenge because of contrast issues, but actually this phone does it really well, so you don't find that certain skin tones just, you know, all the detail is lost from the face.
Okay, so it's very clever. You can be a completely incompetent photographer by the sounds of it and still get away with it with this camera. We're running out of time, so tell me what you give it then in terms of stars, and just remind us of the price again.
Yeah, so price starts at $849, and 4.5 stars out of 5. As a flagship, $849 is actually the budget these days. Apple, by comparison, put up its prices, so now you pay more in pounds than, so let's say the dollar price was £1,000 in America for an Apple device. It's now more than $1,000. It's now more than £1,000 here. So Google haven't done that. Yeah, so they haven't adjusted for the currency yet. So again, that I think that makes them particularly good value.
Maybe a more viable alternative. Fevzi, as ever, thank you. That's Gadget Detective Fevzi Tolkalp on BBC Radio Berkshire.